It's almost 19 months since the Hazelwood mine caught fire and burned for 45 days, emitting smoke across the Latrobe Valley and causing the evacuation of many from Morwell. The state of Victoria is currently holding a second inquiry into the fire and events surrounding it. Public hearings into whether the mine fire led to increased deaths in the Latrobe Valley began today. Tom Doig was there. He's the author of The Coalface, a book which focuses on the Hazelwood mine fire and in particular the community's response to it. Tom, welcome to the show.
Hello, thanks for having me.
What was the focus of hearings today?
So today was the first of 3 days of hearings, and we're basically hearing from people on the question of whether or not the Hazelwood mine fire did in fact cause an increase of deaths in the short term, as has been alleged by community group Voices of the Valley.
Please go on.
Oh, great. So it was very exciting. We heard from four people. There was Ron Ipson, who was a representative from Voices of the Valley, and then Dawn Sims from Births, Deaths and Marriages. Voices of the Valley had to pay $550 to get death statistics from births, deaths and marriages, and it took months. So that was discussed. And then we also heard from Linda Christine, who is a senior executive at the Department of Health and Human Services, and then Michael Abramson, who's from Monash University, who's heading a long-term health study. So,
and Linda Christine, what sort of questions were asked of her?
Gosh, well, this was probably the highlight of the day's hearings. There was a bit of argy-bargy. There were suggestions from Councillor Sting, Peter Rosen, that the Department of Health's contract management of the University of Melbourne was much more akin to micromanagement. Basically, that the Department of Health had hired an independent researcher from the University of Melbourne and then basically meddled in their report and instructed them on what they needed to write in the report. So that got very exciting and heated, and you know, various lawyers were jumping up and down, and you know, a lawyer for the Department of Health was trying to stop this line of questioning and saying that it was cross-examination, and then Justice Teague was saying, well, it's not a court of law, so we can follow the line of questioning. So it was very, very exciting, but there was a series of emails back and forth that basically seemed to suggest that Department of Health staffers had instructed Dr. Flander to change the wording of certain sections of their report, and that Dr. Flander, in one case, sent an email back within about half an hour saying, yep, we'll accept all your changes, that's fine, which sort of, I guess, cast significant doubt on how independent the University of Melbourne's independent report really was.
That's incredibly damaging to the University of Melbourne.
Well, I think so, as well as maybe to the Department of Health and Human Services.
Oh, absolutely, yes.
It looked very bad. I think there's a sort of, it's awful, really, and as well as looking very bad for the Department of Health and Services in terms of really trying to, dictate the wording of the report to basically cast doubt on the fact of whether or not there was an increase in deaths, which is a very serious matter. You know, we're talking about, you know, like, because Dr. Adrian Barnett, who's going to be on the stand tomorrow, did some, you know, very, solid research, which made it look like there was an increase in deaths of about 10% more than usual. And the Department of Health's response to that was that Dr. Flander's report needs to challenge this finding more directly. A lawyer who works, who's employed to work for Voice of the Valley, suggested that was an adversarial approach. And Linda Christine from the Department of Health said, "Oh, I don't really think it was adversarial. It was more of a suggestion." So yeah, there was some grim black humour to be had in the mix. But yeah, I think it was damaging for the Department of Health and Human Services, and maybe for University of Melbourne as well.
The first speaker this morning, Ron Ipson from Voices of the Valley, told the inquiry that the Morwell community lost faith in the Department of Health during the fire. So this has been crucial to the whole inquiry. Can you give me an idea of how long this inquiry will go on for and how many other voices we'll hear from?
This little section of the inquiry, which is focused particularly on health and particularly on the question of increase in deaths, is going to be tomorrow, and if we run over time, Thursday as well, and it's looking like we will run over time. Dr. Rosemary Lester was meant to speak at the end of today, but we ran out of time, so we're already a little bit behind. But the reopened inquiry is also looking at issues of mine rehabilitation. So there is a sort of, there's, I think, three phases to the reopened inquiry. There's stuff to do with Anglesey coal mine down the Surf Coast, which is closed already, which started yesterday. There's this increase in death stuff, and then in the months to come, there's going to be some rigorous debate about how the coal mines of Victoria are going to be rehabilitated in a way that is safe and so they don't catch fire again.
And
or at least that's the hope.
Of course. And the first inquiry, which handed down its report in August, I understand, last year, it also had a focus on health impacts of the mine fire. But this one is a much more focused one. Is this entirely about this, and it's been pushed by the community, hasn't it? The community has called for this.
Yeah, well, look, it's kind of a bit strange in a way, because the first inquiry was rolled out in a hurry last year, and it needed to be rolled out in a hurry because it was a horrible catastrophe for the Latrobe Valley, and it needed to be addressed. But it turns out that the inquiry wasn't even within its original terms of references to investigate an increase in death. And in the meantime, this community group, Voices of the Valley, tried to get death statistics off birth, deaths and marriages while they were waiting, and that was taking months, and I guess there were bureaucratic reasons for that. They basically took matters into their own hands and counted up the obituaries notice in the Latrobe Valley Express. Like, they basically did like a, you know, slightly amateur sleuthing, amateur investigative journalism, and found what appeared to be an increase in deaths, and reported these findings to Bernard Teague and the board. And the board's response last year was like, this is very serious. We can't rule out an increase of deaths, but we can't examine it this time round. And so basically, yeah, Daniel Andrews and the Labor government decided to reopen the inquiry on the strength of that. And yeah, we're going to be hearing about how important it is. But yeah, there was some pretty interesting and robust discussion today about whether or not indeed the community has been well served by the Department of Health and how well they were going on the community engagement front. And Professor John Catford was grilling Linda Christine and saying, you know, do you feel satisfied with the level of community engagement from the Department of Health and Human Services? And her response was, no, we're not satisfied, no. Well, so that was, you know, that was a good admission at least.
Well, Tom, I'd love to check in with you again. Thanks for joining us on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And that's Tom Doig. He's the author of the book, The Coal Face, about the Morwell fire, speaking to us after a day at the Hazelwood Mine fire inquiry. It will continue tomorrow and perhaps through till Thursday.